With worries related to climate change, artificial intelligence, and unmanned aerial vehicles and drones, among other things, science fiction is a realm ripe for fear and dystopian elements. What will our future look like? How long will the future be with all the world-changing challenges that are possible? ASU's Center for Science and the Imagination has published a new book of short stories that examine those topics with a touch of dystopia and another bit of optimism. The book is called Future Tense Fiction, Stories of Tomorrow, and one of its editors is Joey Eschrick, who is with me. Joey, how much of this collection is dystopian, and to what extent did you want to avoid or embrace that theme?
I think in many cases with the projects we do at our Center for Science and the Imagination, we encourage people to be hopeful. We say, you know, you don't need to be naive. You don't need to take a kind of kumbaya approach to the future. We want to embrace complexity and messiness. Mm-hmm. But we're hoping that you'll, you know, take a, if not optimistic, hopeful approach, a sort of dash of hope in there, and an idea that we might use technologies both to cause problems and to solve those problems, right? That we're tool makers and users, and that's our greatest asset and our greatest downfall as a species in some ways. For this collection, it's a really mixed bag for us. It's a bit different. I think that we tried to have a kind of dizzying complexity of, or a dizzying diversity of authors, I should say, people who traditionally write science fiction, people who are more in the literary fiction tradition, people who are emerging writers, people who've been in the field for a long time. And so I think we just got a lot of different approaches. What we did here is we prompted people based on themes. So we would say in a really broad way, like the theme is home, or the theme is memory, or the theme is sport. And let people try to find characters and issues that they were interested in instead of starting from a kind of tone or approach as we often do. So I think what you end up with is a collection that has a huge range of moods in it. And so, you know, there are some stories that I think end on a somewhat positive note, or the characters end up in a positive place. But there's other stories that I think really try to look in a cold and focused way at some of the problems caused by the technologies that we embrace and disseminate broadly.
So how much of science fiction, and this collection in particular, is about trying to have some sort of vision for what the future could be like, and how much of it is tempered by where we are today? Because, I mean, certainly there are going to be elements of both, but right. Is there the feeling that you're looking for something that, yes, we're going based on the knowledge we have now, but to stretch a bit more and say, well, things weren't caused by global warming, things weren't caused by Donald Trump, whatever it may be, and sort of being able to think beyond oneself. How hard is that? But did you also want to embrace that?
I really like the way you put that question, because there is this cognitive barrier sometimes, and science fiction can be immensely freeing, and it can get into the language of metaphor and analogy and isn't so much mired in linear projections forward. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something I really like about the genre. And so, for example, we have a story in here called A Brief and Fearful Star by Carmen Maria Machado, mm-hmm. which is a fantastic story, but it takes place in almost kind of like lyrical, folkloric version of North America. Mm-hmm. We don't know when it is. It could be the past. It could be the far future. The story's kind of about genetics and inheritance and memory, but it doesn't feel rooted to a specific place. And so it has a richer symbolic language because it's not sort of tied to our day-to-day experience. But I think one of the other things, and as I've been at this working with these authors and editing for 7 years now, one of the things the genre does really well is sensitize us to just how strange living with technology is. So it's not so much about predicting or necessarily even preparing us for a specific future, although I think that's often how people like to use science fiction, and in dialogue it can be really useful that way. But, you know, our lived experience of living in a scientific and technological world is very strange. Something like a cell phone or an automobile or all the different apps on your phone, an app that allows you to catch little pocket monsters around your city and project them onto a little screen. Those are really weird things. And I think the way that they assail us day to day and the amount of information we're taking in, things become mundane really fast. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like about this book as I've revisited it is just how odd living today is, and how science fiction can help us rediscover some of like wonder and fear of mm-hmm. having to live alongside these technologies and coexist with them and make ethical decisions around them.
So what are the advantages or maybe even disadvantages of fiction? Fiction is great, allows us to use our imagination, mm-hmm. but then it's not as rooted in fact, potentially. So that can be freeing, but also limiting, I suppose.
Yeah. The approach we take with many of our projects and future tense fiction is one of them sometimes, is we actually have people with, you know, what we'll say is subject area expertise working with the authors. So sometimes there'll be someone like a climatologist or a demographer or an artificial intelligence programmer talking to the author as they're coming up with the story. That's not always the case with these. It depends on the author. We try to let them set the pace a little bit. And some of them know quite a lot going in. We also pair all of these stories. They all originally ran on Slate.com on the Future Tense channel. They're presented with essays by experts, sometimes the same people who advise the story. So we do try to kind of create an oscillation back and forth or a conversation between real cutting edge work in a field or an area of knowledge and then the story. And the story hopefully helps, again, sensitize people to some of the key themes or exaggerate them helpfully or just make them more visceral and emotionally real by putting characters in them. I think that's a thing that fiction can really do. It can take issues that feel like what I've taken to calling science page issues, things that feel a little academic and a little distant sometimes. I think climate change was a science page issue for quite some time. It didn't feel like it was real in our lives. It didn't have a visceral experience, and it didn't feel imminent. Yeah. Now it feels imminent in some ways for more of us, and I think climate change has now moved to the front page, and it's moved into all kinds of different fiction and storytelling. But I think science fiction can make those science page issues feel immediate and feel very emotionally overwrought, and that can be really helpful to and also to see people who are either like us or who are radically unlike us encountering strange technologically mediated experiences and having to grapple with them. That's really powerful. You know, stories, I don't think, are the ideal way to teach people things, but they are the ideal way to kind of engage their emotions and their passion and their curiosity. And that's what they've been for me, too, as I've learned about many of the fields that we write about in our stories mm-hmm. via a story. The story has been the tunnel through which I travel to, like, learn more about AI or the climate or virtual reality or, you know, what have you.
That is Joey Eschrich. He is editor and program manager at ASU's Center for Science and the Imagination. We've been talking about the new collection of fiction, Future Tense Fiction, Stories of Tomorrow. Joey, always good to see you. Thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.